Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I invite you to join me in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5. You know, for as long as human beings have been afflicted by diseases, there have been people who have tried their best to study the art of healing the human body. And we have some of us here in this audience and in this congregation who work in the medical field, and we are all so grateful for the work that you do and that doctors do and nurses and people like that all over this country and the world, because we all get sick from time to time, and sometimes seriously. And since doctors are a regular part of our lives, I think it's so interesting when you read the gospel accounts about Jesus and about the work that he did. He is presented to us, and sometimes he even talked about himself in terms of a healer, in terms of a doctor, in terms of a physician. And it's really interesting to read about this in the Gospel of Luke, because if you read Colossians chapter 4, it's around verse 14, Luke himself, who's not a Jew, but a disciple of Jesus, even though he's a Gentile, he is described as a physician himself. So he appreciated this side of Jesus in an extra special way, since that is what he devoted his life to doing in his regular job. So what I want to do is I want to look at four different passages in the Gospel of Luke with you and draw four different points out of what Jesus did in his relationship with other people around him who are sick, sometimes physically sick, but even more than that, spiritually sick, and really come away with this idea that Isaiah talks about, that he bore our diseases and our illnesses onto himself to take them away from us spiritually so that we could have healing in every way. So let's go to Luke chapter 5, and I want to read a passage with you here in verses 12 through 13. We'll go ahead and read the whole context down to 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. I think it's so neat to demonstrate from this passage here in Luke 5 that when Jesus came into contact, literally came into contact with other people around him who were sick, he was not personally affected by any of the afflictions that he was around. He was immune to everything that he treated. That is not the case for doctors and nurses and people in the medical field around us today. Several years ago, I was reading a book called A Distant Mirror by a woman named Barbara Tuchman. And she wrote this book about what it was like to live in Europe in the 1300s. I am so thankful we don't live in Europe in the 1300s. Because that was, among the many terrible things that happened, that was the time of the Black Plague. Did you know that? It's been estimated, we don't have hard numbers on this, but it's been estimated that one-third of the population from Iceland to India and everything in between there died. One-third of the total population of humans dropped dead in a matter of days or weeks from this disease. Nobody could do anything about it. Nobody knew where it came from or how to handle it. You either lived through it or you died. And there was really nothing anybody could do. And that was true of doctors too. In the city of Venice, Italy, it's been estimated, or it's been reported, that 20 out of the city's 24 doctors died. Can you imagine that? You go into a clinic here in Nashua or Lowell, and you show up at the desk, and the person says, "I'm sorry, all of our doctors are dead except for a couple, and they're really busy treating these other people, so you just have to wait." That's what life is like. And it's interesting, and it's tragic, when we went through the early days of COVID, and the news articles popped up, not just about the people who are contracting the disease all over the place, but also the nurses and the doctors who were treating them. Sometimes they contracted it too, and they died in large numbers as well in the early days. And so it's so striking then when you consider that Jesus is immune to everything that he treats. In Luke chapter 5, notice that what it says about this person that he encountered, this guy who comes to him begging him to be clean. Look at what Luke says at the beginning of verse 12. He didn't just have a couple of spots on his arm or his forehead. He was full of leprosy. If you're using the new American Standard, it even says he is covered with leprosy. So he is unclean according to the law, and he is probably contagious depending on the form of leprosy that he had. He's not a person that you want to be around. He's a person that you would pass by on the other side of the street if you saw him coming, and yet Jesus heals him. And notice how he heals him. Jesus had different ways of healing different people. Sometimes he would spit, and he would cover their eyes and spit. He would tell them to go wash. He would do different things. How does he heal this guy? Look closely at the text. He doesn't stand on the opposite side of the street and say, "Okay, you're well." He approaches him, or allows himself to be approached, and he touches his body. Because Jesus cannot become unclean. Jesus gives healing and cleanliness to the other people around him. He is not afraid at all about being touched by this man. So he's signaling here that the most powerful diseases of the body, but also of the soul, can be healed by him. And that is so different sometimes from our relationships around us, because sometimes we are afraid, or other people are afraid, of touching us, of coming into contact with our lives in some way, because they're afraid of being tainted by our sin, or discovering who we really are. That is not the case of our relationship with Jesus. We don't have to fear him finding out the full extent of how we have failed him, because he already knows. And before this guy ever approached him, he knew about him. And he knew how covered he was with these sores. He knew the disease of his body, and he knew the diseases of his soul. And so it's so interesting that Jesus displays this power for the body of this man so that he can demonstrate he heals souls. As a matter of fact, the very next passage, starting in verse 17, you have this paralyzed guy who has his sins forgiven before he is healed of his paralysis. And this is just such a comforting point for us. He is not afraid of drawing near to us, but sometimes we can be afraid of drawing near to him because we're embarrassed, because we're afraid of him discovering us. But we need to not be, because of passages like this. Something else about Jesus that I so appreciate is that there's no patient that he refused to see. Look down here, continuing in chapter 5, look down here at verse 29. "And Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" I think there might be a lot of reasons why a doctor might not treat somebody who comes to his door. Maybe the patient is just incredibly difficult to interact with and to handle. Maybe this person doesn't have insurance, and so his doctor's office doesn't have a relationship with anybody that he can bill this to. There could be a lot of reasons behind why doctors might say, no, thank you, please go see somebody else. I don't want to deal with that problem. But in Jesus' case, there was no one who was outside of his realm of treatment. And so he would spend time with people in Jewish society that nobody else wanted to spend time with. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes are happy to stand aside and watch as Jesus sits at the table with these people that they would never sit at the table with. This Levi in the text is also called Matthew, one of the people who became the closest, one of the closest friends and apostles that Jesus had, so that he could be trained to be sent out carrying Jesus' message, representing him as an ambassador to the rest of the world. This is who Jesus picked out. Matthew was just sitting at a tax booth, minding his own business, collecting money for the Romans, and Jesus comes to his booth and says, hey, I want you. Matthew said, sure. And then threw a party and invited Jesus to the party. And he came, to the shock and amazement of the people outside watching. For Jesus, there's no red tape. There's no insurance requirements. There's no hoops to jump through. The only qualification you need for him to sit down at the table with you is for you to know that you've got diseases of the soul. And he will sit down with you and he will take care of your needs. Think about how this relates to us. Tell you what, sometimes if we're really honest with ourselves, we choose our close relationships with other people based on our own self-interest, don't we? We mentally evaluate others and we gauge whether or not this other person around me is going to benefit my life or not. Are they going to do something for me? Are they going to give something to me? Are they going to add to my life? Because if they're not, if they're going to be a drag on me, then I think I'm going to stand over here. I don't think I'm going to get very close. I'm not going to see that patient, that person that might need the help of the Lord that maybe I have to give to them. Because ultimately, we can't heal anybody. We can't help anybody outside of the work that God can do through us. But sometimes we're unwilling to allow the Lord to work through us in that way. But when Jesus formed relationships, it was not on the basis of what people could do for him. Because what does Ephesians say all of us were in the boat of? Sin and death. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. None of us have anything to offer Jesus that he doesn't have by himself. So what we gain from a relationship with him is life and righteousness and joy and all the good things that he has to offer. And what he receives is cleansed children. But we had nothing to bring to the table. Matthew didn't. None of those people at the table did. Anybody that Jesus worked with in his life, he is forming a relationship with them because he wants to help. Is that how we look at other people around us? People in this church? People on the outside that need to come to Jesus like we have? If we don't, then we're not going to understand or appreciate the kind of doctor that he is, and that he was in these passages in Luke. And something else we need to point out about Jesus as a doctor is that there was nothing beyond his ability to cure. Go with me in chapter 6 now. Look with me in chapter 6, verse 17. Chapter 6 of Luke, verse 17, says, he came down with them and stood on a level place with great with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. I really appreciate living in the times in which we live, because we, with thousands of years now of medical research and of people trying to figure out the human body, and with the knowledge that God has given the human race by this point in time, we understand how to cure a lot of things. We understand how to give vaccinations. We understand a lot about medicine. We've got a fur piece to go. But we have come a long way. But there are still things that doctors throw up their hands about, even to this day. There are some things that can't be treated, some things that can't be fixed. And so I so appreciate here that, in light of that fact, that Jesus can heal all. That there's nothing that he cannot touch and affect. Because you notice those powerful words at the end of verse 19. There's nobody that came to him that he turned away because he didn't know what to do with their problems. In the medical fields, there are specialists that drill down deeply into one particular form of medicine, because nobody can understand and treat it all, right? And we were confronted by that very personally when Jenny had her stroke. We went to see neurologists and hematologists and cardiologists. We had brain doctors, we had blood doctors, we had heart doctors for the hole in her heart where the clot passed through. All kinds of doctors. Because no one person could say, well, let me explain it all in great detail. But nobody went to Jesus and had him turn them away because, well, I can do fevers and I can do paralysis, but I can't drive out demons. Sorry, you're going to have to go see some other rabbi for that. Maybe the one down the street. Knock on his door. No, he can heal everybody. And it didn't matter if you were a Jew or not, because you notice the list of people that come to him are not just coming from Judea and Jerusalem, but also on the northern seacoast of Palestine, Tyre and Sidon, which implies that it's not just Jews in this audience. It's everybody coming from everywhere. It's people with light skin or dark skin. It's people who can speak Palestinian Hebrew. It's people who speak Phoenician. It's people who look and sound very different from each other with different kinds of diseases. But Jesus heals them all. Think about how that applies to you and me. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your sin is. Jesus can have something to say about that. If you're going through marriage problems in your relationship with your spouse, if you are going through a time in your life where work is just terrible and there are people that are persecuting you because you're trying to live an upright Christian life and they hate that and they feel threatened by that and they're going after you because of that, if you have some sort of bitterness in your heart because of an experience that you had years ago in your life, doesn't matter what it is that is tempting us to be consumed by sin, Jesus can fix that. Jesus can heal it. So if we run after human doctors, run after human psychologists, we run after humans who say, I've got something to say, we're going to be disappointed, because ultimately nobody can heal like Jesus can heal. Go to him. The last point from Luke that I want to talk about is in chapter 8. A lot of these points overlap because you can see them in a lot of these passages that we're reading. But in Luke chapter 8, what I want to draw out from here, it's the fact that his healing power took immediate effect. Look here in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "No, someone touched me, for I perceive the power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." In so many cases, if you go to somebody in the medical field, you're going to be told it's going to take time to heal you, if you can be healed at all. It's going to take time to diagnose the problem. It's going to take time to prescribe the right medication and the right dosage of medication for you. It's going to take time for that medication to do its work in your system. It's going to take time for all those things to happen, weeks, maybe years. And yet, when Jesus interacts with people, they, except for one specific occasion that I can think of, which was to make a point, Jesus immediately heals everybody that walks across his path. And in her case, in the case of this woman, she wasn't even talking to him. She wasn't even face to face with him. All she had to do was walk up behind him, push her way through this crowd, which must have caused some problems for her afterwards, because she is unclean and she is touching a lot of Jewish people around her. All she has to do, though, is approach and just touch the fringe of his garment, and she is well. Notice what Luke tells us. The doctor, Luke, tells us she went to a lot of doctors before she came to Jesus, and she spent all of her money. She ran out of her insurance policy. She ran out of her bank account. She had nothing left. But she comes to Jesus, and he does accomplish what no other human can accomplish. Immediately. This is so relevant to us. Perhaps you're looking at this passage and you're thinking, well, that's great for her. She was healed immediately, but I've got problems in my life, spiritual problems in my life that are still here, that I'm still dealing with. I have not been healed immediately like she was. So how does that affect me? I want you to think about this, though. When you are baptized into Jesus Christ, when you sign up and commit yourself to becoming a disciple of His, your status does immediately change in that very moment from sinner to saint. That change is made, and it's a permanent change. As long as you continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. And yes, we have sins that we're still dealing with. Yes, there are still problems that afflict us in this life before we reach the eternal gates. But someday, our spiritual reality that is locked away safe in heaven is going to catch up to our physical bodies and our mental awareness and everything about us now that we're still struggling with. Because remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection day? What are those new bodies? How are those new bodies going to come to us? Is it going to be this gradual evolution of, you know, you're going to go 3 years and then you're going to get your body? No, I want to just remind you of this. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52 says, "We shall all be changed," how quickly? "In a moment." In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, which is pretty quick. At the last trumpet, boom, we're going to be completely changed and healed whenever that day does come. So, this immediate healing is coming for you. It is coming for me. And what we have now in our relationship with Jesus is a down payment is a helpful foreshadowing of what is going to come to us on that final day. So be encouraged by that and keep walking with Jesus so that you can have this. But what I want to do as we wrap up now, as we turn our attention to the Lord's Supper, is I want to turn to one more passage outside of the Gospel of Luke. And this is in Matthew's Gospel now, Matthew chapter 8. Everything that we've been talking about this morning points forward to this point about how He can cure everything, that He can do it immediately, that He is immune to everything that He treats, that He does not refuse any patient that comes to Him regardless of the problem. Notice what Matthew tells us in Luke, in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read 14 through 17 together. When Jesus entered Peter's house, He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She rose and began to serve Him. That evening she brought to Him many who were oppressed. They brought to Him many who were oppressed by demons, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. I want you to think about that for a second. If you just read this passage in Matthew, what you would probably come away with was, well, what Isaiah's talking about back there in whatever passage that he's quoting is, Jesus came to fix bodies. Jesus came to heal fevers, like the woman that He heals right here in this passage. Jesus came to just cast out demons from bodies. Jesus came to fix paralysis. Jesus came to cure leprosy, all these things. But if you go back to Isaiah 53, it's not talking about physical problems so much as it is the spiritual sicknesses of humankind. Jesus did fix bodies, but fixing bodies was a way of demonstrating His power to fix souls. So today, as we come to this supper and we prepare to take of the bread and the fruit of the vine to remember the sacrifice that Jesus offered on the cross, when He gave everything and He suffered so that our suffering could be taken off of us, that we could have life, we need to think about how we're coming to Him today. Are we coming in as Pharisees and scribes? Yeah, I'm doing pretty well in my life. I got it all together. I don't need fixing. I don't need healing. I'm not diseased. Maybe there are some other people in here who aren't doing well, but I've pretty much got it. Or are we coming to Him like the woman who pushed through a crowd and got really embarrassed and did all these painful things in order to reach Him because she knew she needed healing? Are we like the man that we first read about in Luke 5 who runs up to Jesus and begs Him to heal him from his leprosy? Are we like these humble people, like Levi, the tax collector, who is so excited that Jesus would give him the time of day that he invites all of his friends to sit down at the table with Jesus? A lot to think about here. And let's do that together as we take this supper as a congregation.